This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. Great to be with you. And I have to tell you, we're streaming live on Facebook right now, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. I love reading comments along here. If you can't get a phone call in or you don't feel comfortable calling in the show, it's a great way to communicate with us here. I cannot not look tired today on the webcam. I keep meaning to go during the break to try to do something to my face to make me not look
freshen
as tired
up
as I am. As I said yesterday, you know the scary movie? It's Scream, that, right? Didn't we determine that it was Scream where they're
the call
trying
is
to determine
coming from inside the house?
Yeah, you stole my line.
No, I was.
Wait, I don't
I
know if
were
it's Scream, though.
Is it? Because, I mean, it's Drew Barrymore at the beginning of the movie, and she's on that really huge Zach Morris phone.
Oh, it's When a Stranger Calls. That's what that's from. Scream is the movie that you're talking about, but that line is from When a Stranger Calls.
So what you're saying is Scream is a movie that's scary and there's somebody on the phone.
Correct.
Yes.
Andrew Barrymore is in that movie.
I don't know about the other one.
The original time I remember that line, because it's been done in basically every horror, everything, is a book.
Because it's terrifying.
Yeah. It is a book called Scary Stories. Were you guys too young for those?
I remember reading the Fear. Fear wasn't when R.L. Stine wasn't something, no fear. Fear.
R.L. Stine wrote kind of like children's scary books.
Well, yeah, the ones.
Goosebumps
that,
or
Goosebumps
one of those
was the younger version of the Fear Street.
Oh, okay. Never heard of
it. Do
you
know what that is?
I do.
I think I think if I read Fear Street books right now, I'd still be scared by them.
No, if you're
maybe
roughly
that's why I quit reading books.
Late 30s, early 40s,
yeah.
You probably read some books called Scary Stories, and they had the most terrifying graphic on the front of them.
Yeah.
And that line was in the most famous story from those Scary Stories.
Mm.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. I am. So going back to why I look really tired, if I read books, I fall asleep. The only way. So I've been reading Nikki Haley's book, and the only way I can read Nikki Haley's book is on the treadmill, which can be a challenge, especially when, as we were talking before we went to the break, all the noise is going on in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow or another, being on a treadmill and that just that constant hum of the treadmill and the that you're, because I usually walk. It's hard to read and run
at
the same
time. You have to
read time to a beat? Well, if I'm, it's a beat.
Yeah.
And I read. I don't know that there's one required for the other. But I do have to be moving to not fall asleep while I read.
Seems like a tremendous endorsement from Nikki Haley's book.
No, it's fantastic. It's gotten me back on the trail, the treadmill quite a bit. It's really compelling. But anyway, I look really tired right now, and that's because I am really tired right now because the sickness, we are down with the sickness in the Fry House. And I feel completely fine. But last night, seriously, I don't usually do this. My husband usually puts the kids to bed. I usually keep Evelyn, the youngest one, downstairs while the two big ones get ready for bed. And last night when I went to bed, I walked into the big kid's room and just to look at him and make sure everything was okay, because my three-year-old had gotten sick the night before. Kind of unexpectedly, all of a sudden my tummy hurts and then she's physically throwing up and sick. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. So we dealt with that the day before and we kept her home from school. And everybody was good. Everything was fine. My son was supposed to have basketball practice last night, but we found out that we had gone to a birthday party this past weekend, and 15 of the 20 people who were at that party all got this thing. Mm. And Evelyn had it, the littlest one, so the call was coming from inside of the house now. And we're minding our business, and we decided we were going to keep my son home from basketball practice because this thing came on pretty fast, and it seems pretty aggressive, and the last thing I really want him to do is to go be at a basketball practice, touch every basketball that's going to pass around to every kid, and then wipe out the whole team. But he was fine. He also has a piano recital tonight, so instead he stayed at home and played Jingle Bells and We Three Kings 72 times, I think. So everything's good. Everyone's in bed. I go check on the kids in bed. They're sleeping very peacefully, soundly, so peacefully and soundly that I actually took a picture of them. Walk out of their bedroom, close the door behind me, go lay in bed. And within 10 minutes, my daughter, because they share a room right now. They have bunk beds in a room. They just like to be in the same room. My daughter comes and she's like, Charlie just threw up all over the place. I was like, no! And so then Jared had to go deal with that. So now he's home today. And yesterday, my daughter, my youngest daughter, kind of started to feel warm or whatever. So we're just trying to cut it off. We don't want it to spread. Mm-hmm. And she's in 3-year-old preschool. So I don't know that 2 days off in a row is going to keep her from getting into college. So we kept her home. And my son's at home today. And my husband's at home with them again today. And my daughter and I were just looking at each other last night like, is it going to be you next or is it going to be me next?
Survival mode.
You can see this picture on Facebook. So she slept with me last night and my husband slept downstairs because I think he had the littlest one down there too. I created in my bedroom, I created a path of all of the rugs that I had in my bathroom. I moved them all into my room and paved the way into my bathroom. And explained to her, the first place you throw up is the toilet. The second place you throw up is the tile. The third place you throw up is this pathway of rugs. And when you feel like you're going to throw up, if you don't think you can get to the tile, I want you to get down on your hands and knees and just throw up straight into this towel. Like, yep. I don't want like a valiant effort where we minimize surface area.
No.
And I said, don't do it while running.
Where is the worst place to throw up? She's like, in your bed. And I'm like, you're darn right.
Spot
in my
on.
Bed. She thought it was funny because she thought I was joking, but I was serious.
Mm-hmm.
I was real serious.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's unique. I think every parent has had that discussion with their children. Here's where you throw up.
It's crazy because when I posted the picture of the what I referred to as the puke path on Facebook last night, just to give people were wondering how the littlest was. She's doing okay. I think she's going to be just fine. I was like, this saga has continued. So I posted this picture, and one person after the other, after the other, after the other, saying, I remember those days. Here's what we do. And the Prairie Farms buckets were coming up again.
Yeah.
People were talking about the different things they used to do. It is hard. So then when you fall asleep as a parent, you're like sleeping with one eye open because what are you going to do? You got this bomb laying in bed next to you that's about to go off and you don't know when.
I was going to ask, how do you even fall asleep as a parent knowing that the person next to you might not feel well and they might throw up on you or the bed or the pathway of rugs at any time?
You keep a mixing bowl between you and the kid. That's how you do it.
No, you don't, because if you're on the other side of the bathroom, you don't want them to make the choice to turn one way or the other. I was going to throw up in the bowl, Mom. I'm sorry, but now it's all over your face.
I'm like all panicky in a car when I know someone doesn't feel well in a car. And, you know, I can tell that they're getting car sickness. I get very panicky and worrisome. Every 5 minutes I'm checking on that person. Couldn't imagine being a parent all night long just being like, God, I hope this kid's okay.
I love my children more than anything. And if you want to see Mama Bear come out, you just come after my kids.
Yeah.
I will black out and something will happen and you'll have to tell me about it later. However, if my kid's about to puke in my bed, I don't know that I'm beyond pushing them out of my bed. Not here!
All I remember, again, I black out a lot, but all I remember is that my daughter was about to puke. And now she's over on the other side of the hallway, and the puke's over there.
She had to be on the towels.
Is that the worst thing to clean up when you have a kid?
I can't do it.
That's a bad thing.
My husband is the guy. I can do the other, like the diapers and all that stuff that doesn't bother me at all. That I can't. And as I say to my husband, like, I can help you do this, but then you're going to have to clean up after me.
Right.
So give me the cuddly babies at when they're sick, and I will hold them, and I will sit in the bathroom, in a different bathroom or in a location where if this happens again, I will help them make a not mess this time. I will comfort. And there have been times where I go in and I try to help, and I'm just like,
ah, no.
I won't even make the noise. But I can't.
You need to just get a dog.
Oh, my gosh, Ryan. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Get a big dog.
I hate everything right now. Please, no, Ryan, no.
This is helpful.
Stop it.
Because I don't know if you're aware of this.
Nope, okay.
You need to stop.
It's making me sick to my stomach.
Stop.
You're making me sick to my stomach.
In St. Louis.
People are in the Arby's drive-thru.
They're not anymore. They're hanging out of their cars.
They're going to the kennel to take care. They're getting a dog.
No, they're not. Oh, my gosh.
This is our lives with Ryan Wiggins. Hey, guys. You guys remember when we were talking about Sherbert the other day?
So you guys are for kill shelters, I guess. That's what you're saying.
I have a dog. I also, man, I miss impeachment.
Where do we go? Makes me sick.
You have a dog and you're still doing this?
My husband is listening, and this one's from him.
I'm putting you straight into timeout.
It's disgusting.
Oh my gosh.
Somehow or
so
another,
woozy.
We got from if you don't do this, you want dogs in kill shelters.
Somehow we went from when a stranger calls to this.
My stomach doesn't feel good now. And if my stomach doesn't feel good now, for the four people left that are still listening to us, seriously.
Ryan's over there living his best life.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Gosh.
Nasty.
You're nasty.
Do you have a dog?
Used to until it died recently. Thanks for bringing that up again.
Oh.
What, did someone get sick?
No. The dog was old. And it had broken legs, so we felt like it was probably time to go ahead and put it down.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bone fractures in all four legs, I think.
Oh,
St. Bernard, real heavy dog, couldn't hold itself up real well.
Oh. What was his or her name?
Bailey. We inherited that
his
name.
His or her?
Her. I inherited that dog and inherited that name.
I like the name.
I think the name was rather dull, to be honest with you.
Well... It's fine. It's only used to my last name. It's okay. It's
I would have named it something like Captain Dog.
It was only Katie's name.
For the first 25 years of my life.
Oh, yeah. That was your last name.
Yep. Well.
It's kind of dull, he says. What a...
That's what I...
Well.
You know what name's not dull? Ryan. That's a real partner.
I was told this weekend.
I didn't choose that one either, though.
I was playing a game with a couple of friends, and one of the cards was like, point to the person with the most unoriginal name.
Yikes.
Everyone pointed to me. They're
Katie
like,
Bailey.
Katie Bailey is the most... And I'm like, you know, you might be right, but it's a family name.
I support
name.
That. I've met other Katie Baileys.
Oh,
it's probably like the hardest name to Google because you find a lot of them.
How disappointing that Ryan derails the show in such a disgusting fashion, and now we have more people streaming on Facebook than we've ever had before.
Kathy says, Ryan, you did not go there.
Of course he went there.
What kind of dog do you have?
A healthy dog. I have an Australian Shepherd. Beautiful little Rosie. You've seen Rosie in the pictures and...
What does Rosie do? Just sleep through these escapades?
She gets on her climb. And she
she's
stays
obedient.
There because she's obedient because Kenilwood is amazing when it comes to training dogs. I'm not being paid to say that to you at all, but we say thank you, Kenilwood, in my house on a regular basis because they trained Rosie when she was a puppy and she is just wonderfully obedient because she just had that ingrained her from the beginning.
See if you can get Kenilwood to train your dog to walk on the treadmill. And read Nikki Haley's book.
Now my dog will walk on the treadmill. We'll have
and
to work
talk.
On the reading things.
Yeah. I love watching dogs walk on treadmills. It's so funny.
Especially when you have an Australian Shepherd. They got a lot of energy.
It thinks it's people.
It's just walking. But except for when dogs walk on treadmills and they look to the side, they really go to the side. Kind of like children do from time to time. Just like you just generally go that direction. Or men when they're driving and looking at deer on the side of the like the tree lines. You know
oh, you can't
about?
Pass a deer and not go, deer, look, there's a deer.
It's kids. Like on your,
do that.
On
yeah.
your, the hood of
whoops,
your car.
Wrong shoulder.
Well, I don't know how we're going to talk to Mark Cox when we come back, but we'll talk to him about something. The IG report, Certainly lots going on right now, especially with William Barr reacting here. Back in a second with Mark Cox. Stream with us live, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
If it takes us another 8 months to get a second court or maybe a Supreme Court decision, people need to understand that is not the end of the process. It comes back to us and we ask questions because he no longer has absolute immunity, and then he claims something else, that his answers are privileged and we have to go to back to court for another 8 or 16 months. The argument, why don't you just wait, amounts to this. Why don't you just let him cheat in one more election? Why not let him cheat just one more time? Why not let him have foreign help just one more time?
Adam Schiff doing Adam Schiff kinds of things right there. And the idea of allowing the election to culminate in a natural way, I think the answer to all those questions is they're terrified they're going to lose to Donald Trump again in 2020. I think they're probably afraid they're still going to lose to him. And just to reiterate here, Ryan, the poll, who's if they got into the race right now?
Well, it's Newsweek reporting on it, but Firehouse Strategies polling is that in Wisconsin, Trump leads every Democratic front runner by double digits, except for Biden, who he leads by 9.
And what was the poll that suggested that Hillary Clinton would be the leader?
That was the, that's a different poll, but yeah, we'd have to look up exactly who did that poll, but...
If Hillary Clinton were to enter the race right now, that she would be the front runner.
Yes.
Democrats pick Hillary Clinton as 2020 front runner in new party poll. A new poll of registered Democrats has Hillary as their top choice, even though she's not running. An online Harris poll survey released by the Center for American Political Studies at Harvard found that Clinton placed first with 21% of the vote, followed closely by Joe Biden at 20. Bernie Sanders at 12, Warren 9, Michael Bloomberg at 7. Let's ask Mark Cox about that.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I don't know about him.
Mark Cox, the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. Hillary Clinton, 21% front runner if she were in the race right now. Mark, what do you think about that?
Fascinating, isn't it? And you know the thing, Annie, and good afternoon to you. I looked at that poll this morning with shock and awe, and then I clicked on the link to the poll and I looked at who they talked to, and it's an online poll, so I don't know how scientific it is, but it according to their own research, about 30% of the people that they talked to identified themselves as Republican, which I thought was interesting because the media is portraying it as they polled Democratic voters, but unless these are Republicans that are going to vote Democrat, I don't know who these people are. So I don't know to put much stock in that or not. I'll tell you who is happy about it. It's probably Hillary Clinton because she's looking for an excuse to run.
You think she really wants to run? I mean, you think that there is real thought in her brain that she might go up against Donald Trump again in 2020?
I think there is. I would go so far as to say there is an alien inside of her ready to crawl out. She wants to run so bad.
But, hello, my baby. Hello.
Having said that, I also think she's scared to death again to lose. I mean, I really think in the back of her mind, well, Donald Trump occupies space in her brain.
She didn't lose the first time.
She would implode if she lost to him again.
What is the next book? What really happened? I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand the risk worth taking for her to get back in. But being on the tips of people's tongues and in the front of people's minds is valuable to her. She doesn't wield the power and authority she used to when she was the Secretary of State or Senator or First Lady or whatever she was at any given time. She didn't have anything anymore other than winning the popular vote, but losing the actual vote that matters. The
electoral
vote.
She and Bill are not hurting financially, but losing that presidential race has basically bankrupted the Clinton Foundation. I mean, people don't donate to it anymore because there's no political clout that goes behind it. It was basically one big walking quid pro quo organization. I'm waiting for Bill Barr to open that investigation.
So let me ask you about Bill Barr, because he had sat down today and was speaking with the Wall Street Journal a little bit, and he has had a lot to say in regards to what the IG report is. It seems as though he respects the IG report for the substance that it provides, but it is not at all near the totality of where this post-Russia collusion Mueller investigation, post-investigation is going. There's a lot more there, and he seems pretty calm and chill about the whole thing.
Bill Barr scares the death out of the left. He's got him scared to death for one reason, and primarily it's this. If you read the IG report, the conclusion that it draws is that, well, we talked to James Comey and Loretta Lynch and Sally Yates and Dana Bonte and all these Obama administration officials, and all of them told us that there was no political consideration behind this, and we couldn't find any evidence otherwise, right? Hold on, guess what? My alarm's going off here for your phone call. Hang on, let me turn that off.
Annie Fry's
the noise you hear in the background.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Noise.
Sorry. So that's the IG report. He interviewed all of these Obama administration officials, and they all told him, oh, there was nothing political here. And he didn't find, he said, any evidence to prove otherwise. Well, here's the catch. What started this entire investigation was a tip from an FFG, and that's a friendly foreign government. What Bill Barr knows, I think, because what Durham's uncovered is what was behind that tip from a friendly foreign government. And I think that's where the bias lies. So what we're going to find out next is the facts from outside the Department of Justice. All we know now is that there were 51 violations and 9 outright lies in those FISA applications. And now we're about to find out where the original idea got planted from outside of the government, maybe because of a suggestion that led to this entire investigation.
Well, okay. So, Mark, I want to shift gears here a little bit, because that story is going to continue going into the future here. 2020 for you, in your crystal ball, what do you expect, just the overview of the first, second, third quarter of 2020 to look like, politically speaking, for Donald Trump, for the Democratic race and the primary going into the general election?
Wow. Start with January. January is going to be another shift show in the United States Senate. I think the Democrats will beg to get that over with by the end of January because, of course, by the time we get into March, the beginning of the second quarter, they're knee-deep in Super Tuesday, and all of these elections across the country leading up to their Democratic convention. And what they've now guaranteed is that at least 4 of their front runners, well, not front runners, but 4 of their candidates are going to be tied up in the Senate for most of the month of January in an impeachment trial.
Yeah,
they could end up midway through the second quarter of 2020 with still no clear candidate with enough votes to go into their convention and win.
You have any concern at all that Donald Trump struggles winning re-election in 2020 as of Tuesday, December 10th of 2019?
Well, I am not in the camp that he's going to run away with this, but I do see a scenario where, unlike the last time around, he wins both the popular vote and the electoral college.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. One last question I want to get your thoughts and opinions on here. We've been having this discussion on the show, and I've had it on the show Facebook page. And it's about gift exchanges. And I think I saw you might have cast a vote in that poll, and I don't remember which way you went. But the question is, if you have a gift exchange, maybe it's with people in your family or coworkers, and let's say you set the budget at $30, do you think that everybody participating in that gift exchange is supposed to spend $30, or do you think they're supposed to acquire a gift that is priced $30 or says the value is $30? But hey, if you get it half off, you can get out of there with spending $15 instead. What's the right thing to do? We need to know, Mark.
Oh my, pressure's on.
Yeah.
I don't want to, my coworkers who might get a gift to be listening right now. But if I can get a $30 gift for $10, guess what you're getting for Christmas?
$10 gift.
$10 gift. Absolutely.
That's all right. That's good. I don't really know that there is a correct answer, but it seems as though it's something that people are extremely split on, both on my Twitter and on my Facebook. They were within like 55, 45 or so of each other, and Twitter said spend the money and Facebook said save the money. So it's kind of an interesting way it broke up. So glad to get your input on there.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a no-brainer to me. If I can save a few bucks here or there, why not?
How conservative of you. Mark
Absolutely.
Cox.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Of the Mark Cox Morning Show weekdays, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Go like his Facebook page at facebook.com. Search the Mark Cox Morning Show, and it'll come up. So, Mark, thanks. Appreciate it, having you on today. We'll talk to you again
soon. Thanks, Annie.
Bye-bye. I think that is a divider of people. I've had people texting me, explaining me in bullet points why it should be one way or the other.
Well, wow.
Like you said, though, there's a lot of nuance to it because it's how good of a deal are you getting and how expensive is the item. If it's a $10 item that you're getting for $8, who cares?
Here's from an anonymous person
okay.
who, if they're listening, are going to, oh my gosh, she's reading this. So if it's a $25 gift exchange, they said you should spend the $25 because, one, everything is, quote, on sale. Nothing is full price anymore. And two, sometimes you can return something to a store without a gift receipt, and they'll give you store credit, and they'll be like, okay, here's your $7. And then you get called out. So they said that you should spend the money.
If it's Kohl's and you're using Kohl's cash, you can get more than you paid for the item, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
We'll wait and see.
Think on that.
We'll wait and see what Katie thinks when we come back, and I'll report what the polls that we had up there said. Join the Facebook Live, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, and I will put a new poll up on the Facebook Live. You can weigh in right now for the people listening at this very moment in time, and you can tell us, should you spend the amount of money or should you acquire the amount budgeted? We'll have that up on the Facebook Live here in just a second. We'll be back with your phone calls, 314-241-9797. I'm just saying, now would maybe be a good time to stick around, you know, buy your radio and your phone.
Because you might win something.
Now, what? No, Ryan, we're not telling them. I mean, now we did.
No, you won't.
You have to wait.
You're not going
to
win anything, not on this show.
Ryan.
That's what I meant.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll be back in a minute. I mean, maybe sooner than we thought.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I think it's worth mentioning that on the Facebook Live, we were talking about dogs earlier because Ryan's a jerk, and he had to bring that up.
Sorry, I love dogs. I guess that makes me a bad guy.
It's not really dogs that's so frustrating. It's the context that you brought it up. You'll have to podcast it because we're not going back to there. But Brad did comment on the Facebook Live and say, well, while on a walk, my dog stuck his head into a bush and pulled out a slice of pizza.
Which is why dogs are awesome.
I just think that's
You never
great.
Know where there's going to be pizza.
I want to find pizza.
Me
you
too.
Know,
me too.
I want to like be like, here's a bush. Maybe there's some pizza. Let me
check
it out.
I can count on one, maybe two hands the amount of times I've been walking and found a piece of pizza.
And ate it.
And ate it. Maybe two hands.
I bet you're betting 1,000 in that department.
Dusted off some grass.
However many times it happened is probably how many times you enjoyed that said piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I want to get to this phone call here. Tim, thanks for calling the show. Hey, Tim, you there?
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, Andy. Is this Annie?
Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just wanting to ask a question about them tickets for the Illinois Policy Institute next week. Can you get them from the box office, or do you got to go on that website?
They are available online, and it's an Eventbrite link. Mm-hmm. So if you go to eventbrite.com, it should be there. But we can also send you an email or something. Would you like us to send you something that you can link to? Or we can send you a contact number if you'd prefer to call somebody.
No. Okay.
No. No, I'll check on the website. I thought maybe you could get them from the box office.
I think that they're trying to prepare ahead of time for the amount of people that are coming, which is the purpose of the tickets. But let me put you on hold, and Frank can get some more information. We can reach out to you. Thanks, Tim. I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't mentioned it yet. We are, along with the Lincoln Lobby, which is hosted by Illinois Policy Institute, going to have a Christmas party. And it's not this Thursday, but the next Thursday,
yeah.
December 19th, at the Gateway Convention Center in Collinsville. Open bar, heavy appetizers, and they're asking for you to get a $5 ticket, which is going to help cover the cost. But they also said, when Mindy came on yesterday to announce this party with us on the air, that if $5 is a problem for you, we'd rather have you be there. So just get in contact with them. They'll set you up.
It's going to be a good
time. We're all
going to
be there.
Yes.
So come say hello.
Yeah. So it's Thursday, December 19th at 6:30 p.m. till about 9:30 p.m. at the Gateway Convention Center, hosted by Illinois Policy and the Annie Fry Show. Tickets are $5. And they are having one the same night. This is kind of exciting to me, in Chicago. So they're splitting the state in half. And
that's
they chose
cool.
to come to the Metro East to do the Southern Illinois one.
Yeah. And so Annie will be at this one, and her husband will be at the one in Chicago if you want to go meet him.
Go meet him.
He doesn't know that yet.
This is a really cool event because it's not us up on a stage lecturing you or talking to you like that. This is just a social event.
It's not about us, the Andy Fry Show, the Illinois Policy Institute. This event is 100% about you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have listened to this show and are interested in what's going on in the state of Illinois, maybe you don't live in Illinois, but maybe you have friends or family that do, and you're interested in helping Illinois become a better, more sustainable place to live, this is the type of event where you get to meet other people who are like that.
Right. Maybe you don't suffer from Illinois, but you know someone who does.
Yeah.
Then
4 out of 5 people do.
Right. 4 out of 5 dentists recommend this event.
Yes. Let's go talk to the one who doesn't and find out why. So you can go on to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We shared it there. We shared it at Annie Fry Show on Twitter, at 97.1 FM Talk on Twitter. The Illinois Policy page has shared it. It's shared in the Lincoln Lobby. Lots of places to get this. Is it on the website?
It's on the website.
971talk.com. So if you don't do social media, you can go to 971talk.com, and it is there as well. Again, it's $5 a ticket. It was an open bar. There's going to be heavy hors d'oeuvres, and you are going to be able to hang out with other people who are just like you, or maybe people who aren't just like you, but when it comes to tax issues in the state of Illinois, you're on the same page. This is the ground level of fixing the state of Illinois, is putting all of those other things aside and saying, how do we make this a place where it's not so punishing to live that people decide to leave and go somewhere else?
Don't get medium drunk at this event. It's just
going to
be very casual.
Be doing all the medium drunkness.
Just get a couple in you and tell Annie what she's doing wrong.
There you go.
Tell me, Katie and I, what we're doing right.
Ryan doesn't even need to drink to do that. It's just a call it Tuesday.
Looks like Norton.
Ah! Wait, I'm not ready.
Is there a trash can? How about that basket? Oh, I can't even throw that far.
I think I might go to 2 parties that night. Is that okay?
Which one first?
Well, we've got our church group, community group party that night.
Bring them to the Illinois Policy Institute.
Maybe I will. Just bring everybody down there.
We'll put you at like a card table in the corner with some curtains so you guys can just go behind and
we're VIP.
Have your community group.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. We're trying to keep Ryan separate. Say, no, he's behind the curtain because he's a VIP with his church group and a card table.
We'll take your church group members off one by one and have them come hang out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donna will
Ryan,
love that.
Hold on just a second. I got a phone call. Just yank one person out from behind the curtain at a time.
We have our own little music box back mm-hmm. there that we're just playing stuff and dancing.
Do you have one of the
curtain.
Annie Fry Show t-shirts?
No.
Do we still have t-shirts
people
can buy?
Mm-hmm. Totally. You know what? We should probably bring some to the event.
Can't remember the last time somebody called a radio a music box either. But I would love a t-shirt.
You don't have one?
No.
I'll get you one.
We'll swipe you one.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll hook you up.
Get the smallest size we have.
Okay. No.
Extra small. Extra small tee. Got
it. We have really cool. Can we put that up?
Yeah.
Let's like just because these are, in my opinion, which is the only one that matters for at least another hour and 8 minutes here, is that they're some of the coolest radio shirts that are out there, because it's a shirt that has the Annie Fry Show logo on, but the shirt is not about specifically the Annie Fry Show. It's a cool shirt that you could wear out, and it is a super duper comfortable shirt.
Soft,
well.
So soft. And it's very unique. The colors are unique. We have a graphic on there. It's just a different type of shirt that you probably wouldn't see.
Yeah.
It's not standard.
Before I was on the show, I heard people say, wow, that is a really neat shirt. The colors are neat. There's a graphic on there. That's the kind of stuff they would say.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that when you were in the room with me and Katie and we were talking about
no,
it?
No, I said it was before, Katie, it was before
really
I was
love
on the
this
show.
Shirt. We are very proud of this shirt, Ryan.
It's a good one. So did you get to look in at all? There was a headline on Fox News that was talking about the possibility that some Trump district Democrats, House Democrats, are suggesting potentially a censure instead of impeachment.
Yes. There are 10 Democrat representatives. This is a partial list, but Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, Kurt Schrader from Oregon, Anthony Brindisi from New York, and Ben McAdams. So these are not people that are like really well known. He's from Utah.
Yeah, that's why they're saying this, because right, they're brand new probably.
And they're from Trump districts, and they're concerned about reelection, of course. And they are considering censuring the president as an alternative to impeachment. And a censure is really just a public rebuke. There's not much more to it than that. But 10 is not enough. Now, 10 is a significant number, but it's not enough. If they were all to vote against impeachment, impeachment would still happen.
And what if you had 10 Democrats vote against impeachment and no Republicans vote for it?
No, it would still happen.
I know it would happen, but the ramifications of that, the Senate, was it Kilmeade or was it Fox that I was listening to this morning, was talking about how when in 1998, the Senate took up what the House handed them, but only in process. There was no heart and soul in it, because the mandate that was given to them was so partisan that the Senate knew that they couldn't take this up and actually push through this without doing further damage than what the House had already engaged in. And so the suggestion was that in this case, specifically, if there is no bipartisan effort to impeach the president, and if there's a Republican that has said that they're going to vote for impeachment, it's not out there yet, because lead every news outlet
right.
everywhere. But the fact that we do have Democrats who are suggesting that they may not go along with this, that's a big deal. Then you look at the CNN headline right now. It says Trump Dems reach trade deal on day impeachment articles unveiled. So there's a lot in that headline right there, but specifically that the Democrats have now come to the table to reach out with President Trump and get the USMCA passed. They couldn't do that while they were impeaching the president, because they were obsessed with the impeachment process. They couldn't do the business of the people because they were impeaching, and they're doing it strictly
partisan.
By way of one party.
Yeah, not even their full party. I mean, you have two Democrats vote against even the inquiry. So you're going to have at least those two, if not more, vote against impeachment. It's going to be a PR nightmare for Democrats.
I'll be interested to see how this continues to unfold. And just to see the headline that there are those Democrats who are considering the option of censure instead, that's a big deal. Let's take a quick break. We'll talk to the White House when we come back. I'm going to ask Hogan Gidley what he thinks would be happening next, and get the White House's reaction about the judiciary hearings, the impeachment articles, and the passage of the USMCA. Hogan Gidley from the White House, Deputy Assistant to the President of the United States, when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.